Galatians chapter number 5. Galatians chapter number 5. We'll try not to keep you long tonight, any longer than the Lord would have us. We never cut short what God's telling us to do, but when the Lord says it's time, it's time. But, you know, as we think about this weekend, we think about our holiday, our independence. It's our liberty. And the Bible has a lot to say about liberty, but we take so much of it for granted, just like we do as Americans. We take our liberty, we take our freedoms for granted. Amen? And when we take those freedoms for granted, we slowly see them erode and we let them slip away. Amen? When we take, you take your wife or your husband for granted. Amen? You're going to see that relationship erode. It's going to slip away. You take your children and your parents for granted. You see that relationship, you know, it slips away. It gradually, you're not as entrenched. You're not as engaged as what you once were. Amen? And things slip away. I know parents that haven't talked to their children in months or years. I know children that haven't talked to their parents and We allow things to slip away from us. In Galatians chapter 5 and verse number 1, the Bible says, "Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage." Our Father, we thank you tonight for the privilege of being in your house again. We thank you for these faithful ones that have come back. And God, as we look to your word tonight, we pray, Father, that we would see what you want us to see. We would understand what you'd want us to understand. And Father, we would go away, Lord, hiding something in our heart, God, that would help us to grow to the people and to the place where you'd have us to be. Father, I know, God, I'm just a vessel through which you work. And Lord, I pray, God, tonight that you might use me to your glory. Father, help me to humble myself and hide me, Lord, behind your cross tonight, God, that as I preach your word, it wouldn't be about me but about you, Father, and folks would just see you through me, God, and desire what it is that you share with them tonight. Now, Lord, have your will and your way in everything we say and do. We'll praise you in Jesus' name. We say amen. The Apostle Paul, as he's writing to the Galatians, now the Galatians, they had a problem. They got wishy-washy. They had some false teachers coming around them, and Paul asked him at one time and said, "Who hath bewitched you? Who is it that hath bewitched you?" And, you know, if we're not careful, it's easy to become bewitched. Amen? And America is in that place right now. We got many bewitching us, and they're wanting to change what America is into something that America never needs to be. America was founded. We are not a democracy. How many people realize that America is not a democracy? America is a republic. It's a democratic republic, which means it's a nation of laws that are laid down and that are made possible because of a democratic process, the vote that takes place. But many in our nation today would change what America was founded on and what America is from a democratic republic to a socialist nation. And some people think socialism is great, and it sounds good in its inception, but anywhere that socialism is tried, and anywhere that socialism has been put forth, it does not work, irregardless of how much people try to tell you that it does. They show you models. Well, look at Denmark and look at this and look at that. And yeah, go look at them and see what's happening to these nations. The fabric of who they are is eroding. And you know, the same thing happens in our Christian life. By the way, folks that think socialism, and I understand there's a need for some kind of medical change and stuff to happen. Things just couldn't go on the way they were. But just to give you an idea what socialism does for you, how many have seen the article that came out this weekend about the couple with the little baby in England? Nobody seen it? I can post it on Facebook. There's a family in England's got a little baby that's got a disease. They have raised the money privately and want to bring the child to America to receive medical treatment, but the government says no, because their medical process says no. Their medical process says that's all there is. That's socialized medicine. That's not what we need. We don't need more of control. That's not liberty. Amen? That's not freedom. No, that's what we're going to look at tonight. And the same thing holds true in our spiritual lives. Some are bound by religion. Amen? And it's killing them and it's stifling them. Religion is sending untold millions of people straight to the pits of hell. Amen? Because they believe that religion, they believe that this religion is good for them, and when they try to seek something other than religion, they're excommunicated or they're punished in some way. The Apostle Paul says, stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ has made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Paul is talking about liberty, and he's focusing on liberty. And that word liberty means freedom. The Statue of Liberty means that we are free. Amen. It's a symbol. It's a message to those who witnessed that marvelous statue that America is a place where people are free. And praise God tonight, our new birth, the blood of Jesus, the changed life, the new man is a testimony to the fact that we are free from the bondage of sin. Amen. I'm glad that one day Jesus set me free. Amen. I'm still affected by sin. You know, America is a free country, but we're still affected by tyranny around the world, are we not? Amen. It still exists. Just because America is free, it does not mean that tyranny does not exist throughout the world. I look at what Adolf Hitler had done in Germany. Look at what Joseph Stalin has done in Russia. Look at what Pol Pot had done in Cambodia. Look at what Mao Zedong had done in China. Tyranny had prevailed. And for all you young people that don't know what happened, let me tell you what these men did. They killed millions upon millions of their own countrymen in the name of change. Amen. And put them in bondage to communism, in the bondage to fascism. Paul says, stand fast in the liberty. We've got something precious. Something in America to be desired, but we got something as the children of God that we need to stand up for. Amen. We need to stand. He says we need to stand up for it and stand fast there. Amen. Unmovable. We'll get into that in just a minute. Jesus, before he came into this world, through the prophet Isaiah, gave this prophecy: "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach the good tidings unto the meek. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and the opening of prison to them that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn, to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he might be glorified." And Jesus, when he came into this world, walked into a synagogue and opened the scroll into Isaiah 61 in Luke chapter 4 verse 18, and he made the proclamation. He was the one who came to bring liberty. He was the one that came to set us free from the bondage of sin. There was no hope for man, but praise God, he sent them a redeemer. Praise God, he sent a liberator. Praise God, he sent the one that would fight the battle and win the war when he hung on Calvary's tree. Amen. Our Declaration of Independence said that we believe that we deserve to be free. Our Constitution is the document that we hold up that declares our freedoms. It declares the things set us apart from many other people throughout the world. And it is anchored in three important words. We the people. Amen. It's because of what we're willing to do with what God has given us that we can remain a free people. But praise God, I'm glad the liberty that Christ gave us was sealed in three more important words than we the people. Because we the people can fail, and we the people are failing if America keeps going like it is. But Jesus set our liberty at large. He set our liberty upon us by those three words. It is finished. Hallelujah. Praise God for the liberty that he's given us. Amen. And what he does, and what he finishes, and what he's completed, and what he's going to do. Amen. Nothing can change. Amen. And nothing can prevail against it. Praise God. I'm glad. I told you this morning, I'm glad to be an American. But more importantly, I'm glad I'm a child of God. Amen. I'm glad I'm a Christian. I'm glad that when America fails, and America will fail eventually, every nation in the world is going to fail eventually. Every nation in the world is going to fall prey to that great deceiver, amen, man of sin, the Antichrist. But I'm glad when it all falls apart, amen, my liberty that Christ gave me will be secure in him. Amen. Because of those three words, it is finished. Amen. He says we need to be mindful of what we have. Amen. We need to not take for granted what we have. We need to get excited because of what we have. You know, we at the 4th of July, we all get excited to be Americans. Praise God. I wish Christians would get excited about being Christians as Americans are about being Americans. Amen. We might not set off fireworks, but praise God, we got something better than a firework. When we get in the house of God and the Holy Spirit of God comes by our way and ministers to our hearts, Jesus said, where two or three are gathered together in my name, I'll be there also. And praise God, there's nothing like spending a day and spending an evening and spending a few hours with Jesus. Amen. I tell you what, it gets good. Amen. But we take it for granted. Amen. So Paul wanted to remind the Galatians. Now, they've been wishy-washy. Who hath bewitched you, O foolish Galatians? Who hath bewitched you? He says that they're letting things creep in. They're letting things affect them. They're letting people who are teaching false teaching and teaching false doctrine and giving false hope unto them come in. And he said, you're falling from grace. You want to go back under the law. You want to go back into bondage. And Paul said, don't go back to where you was. He said, stand fast. Amen. Stand fast. You know what that means? Don't move. Amen. It means don't change. It means don't let anything affect you. It's hard to stand when we're standing in the flesh. Amen. The arm of flesh will fail you, God tells us. Amen. When you're trying to stand in your own strength, you're going to fall. But praise God, we don't have to. Over in Ephesians chapter 6, many of you are familiar with this passage of Scripture. He says, finally, my brother, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against the powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness. And he goes on and he lists the rest of the armor of God. But look at what he has said. Look at what he said. He says, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Standing's not easy. And if you try to stand on your own, you're going to get hurt. Amen. But if you equip yourself and prepare yourself, you'll be able to withstand the wiles, the devices, the tools that the devil uses. Amen. To try to discourage and to destroy you in your spiritual life. Verse number 10. He says, we must stand in the strength of the Lord. Amen. You stand in your own strength, you're going to fail. You stand in your own strength, you're going to fall. You stand in your own strength, the devil is going to have a heyday with your life. Right, amen. Amen? But we can stand in the strength of the Lord. Amen. Amen? We don't have to face him alone. We don't have to deal with this alone. We don't have to depend on our strength and our ability, our knowledge. Amen? He says, stand, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Amen? If you stand in the power of his might and your strength is dependent upon the power of his might, then praise God, you're standing with the greatest power in the whole universe. Amen? How can you not stand? Amen? And then he says we must be prepared to stand. In verses 11 and 13 and 14, as we put on the armor of God, he's telling us to be prepared. There are going to be some battles. Amen. Be prepared. There's going to be some rough times. You know, when America was most vulnerable was when she wasn't prepared. Amen. America won our war of independence. And just a few years later, praise God, she was in conflict again. Those whom she had won liberty from were back trying to put America back into bondage. You know what the problem was? After the Revolutionary War, George Washington said, man, you guys fought hard. You done a good job. Go home. America did not have a standing army. A couple hundred, a few hundred, but America did not have a standing army. And America got caught off guard. America fought in World War I, and we supplied our allies in Europe until we were drawn into the fray. And after the war was over, and our soldiers came back, America dismantled our military. She stopped developing new technology for our military. She got complacent. Well, that was the war to end all wars. Huh? That was what they said. World War I was the war to end all wars. And America sat back. And America got complacent. And America was attacked. Why? Wasn't prepared. Took their liberty for granted. And she was attacked. Probably the closest that America ever came to falling was at the onset and the onslaught of the Second World War. Simply because they had let their military power, their military might, diminish. But Americans sprung into action and did what America does. Manufacture. But America was fortunate because America was isolated by two oceans from those who attacked. Stop and think. Had the great Japanese armada, after destroying the fleet at Pearl Harbor, pressed on to the mainland of the United States. Stop and think. Had the powers of the Axis, had the madman Adolf Hitler had enough sense to not start a war on two fronts. You know what would have happened? If he had only waited till he finished his war with Russia before he started his war with England and could have amassed all his forces against England, you know where his next step would have been? America. And you know what? America was unprepared. Vulnerable. You know, in our spiritual lives, it's the same way. When we fail to prepare, when we fail to put on the armor of God, when we fail to allow God to equip us to face what's certainly coming our way, we set ourselves up for failure. We set ourselves up to fall back into bondage. It's by the grace of God that America has remained free. Amen. Not only did America do what it does best in manufacturing, America did what it has done best since its inception. It prayed and prayed and prayed and prayed and sought God's will. If we're going to stand, we got to stand in the strength of the Lord. We got to stand prepared. And then we must realize who it is that we're standing against. Look in verse number 12. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. We need to realize who the enemy is. Amen. When you realize who the enemy is, amen, you realize how you need to prepare. Amen. Our military has to study our enemies, has to study our adversaries, that we might know how to defeat them. Erwin Rommel, during the Second World War, he just traipsed across North Africa, obliterating anything that stood in his way, until the United States sent a man there by the name of George S. Patton, who studied Rommel. He watched his tactics. He watched how he moved his army and how he was effective in doing what he was doing. And by understanding his enemy, he was able to defeat him. And he defeated him soundly. Amen. See, you need to realize, it's not that Christian brother or sister that said something that you didn't like that you're at war against. It's not the sinner in the world that doesn't like you because you're a Christian that you're at war against. Those are the people you need to be praying for. But again, it's against the powers that are behind that. You know, sinner people are only doing what their job description says they are. They're sinners. You know, so what are they going to do? They're going to sin. They're going to sin against God. Amen. They're going to sin against you. They're going to have no concept or no desire to do anything on your behalf. It's all about me. Because they're a sinner. Realize that. Understand that. But realize what's behind that. Amen. You know, in army or in the military, you know, the soldier, he's just doing what his general tells him to do. Amen. You know, you don't necessarily... You know, hate the soldier because he is who he is, you know. My wife's uncle talked to him. He fought in the South Pacific, fought the Japanese during the Second World War. He hated the Japanese to the day he died. He hated the Japanese. He said, I would never take a prisoner. When I had the chance to take the prisoner, I would shoot him because I hate him. I had no use for him. That poor Japanese soldier was only doing what his leaders told him to do, instructed him to do. And we need to realize it's not the people, it's the power behind the people that we need to war against. We got to be on guard against people. But we got to realize why they're doing what they're doing. We got to realize why evil is in the world and why sin is so prevalent in everything that we see and do. Amen? It's simply because of who's in control. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. The root of all that goes back to one name. We call him the devil. We call him Satan. Whatever you want to call him. It's one individual. That's the root of all that. So we must stand in the strength of the Lord. We must be prepared to stand with the armor of God. We must realize who we stand against. But praise God, we must realize who we stand for. Amen. Amen. That's what defeats us so many times. We forget what we stand for and who we stand for. Amen. When America forgets what we stand, the guiding principles of what made America, America, as we slowly forget those principles, and we have those in our government today that tell us that those principles were good 200 years ago, but they need to be changed today. They don't have any real relevance today. In our Constitution, the foundation of our liberties needs to be scrapped and rewritten to make it a socialist document. Praise God, they are going to destroy our nation because they fail to realize who they stand for and what it stands for. We need to realize that we're not in this and it's not about us. Our lives should be like the little girl. It said, well, if Jesus is inside of us and Jesus is in the whole world, if he's inside of us, wouldn't he be popping out all over us? Should be. Amen? Should be. But is he? Do we realize who we stand for? Amen? Paul said, only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ. Amen. Let your life, your conversation in the Bible doesn't mean you're talking. It means your life. It means the things that you're doing. Be as it becometh the gospel of Christ. He said that whether I come and see you or be absent, I may hear of your affairs, that you stand fast in one spirit with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. Paul says, stand fast in the liberty. We need to stand fast in what God has done for us. And we need to let God be shining in everything that we do. Our whole lives need to be a witness and a testimony to the fact that I am his and he is mine. Amen. Blood bought. Blood bought. Amen. Blood bought. America won its freedoms by the blood of those who died. The church has its freedom by the blood of the one who died.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
And we need to stand fast in that freedom. And he says, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Why does a free man want to go back into bondage? Amen? Now, in the Bible, it talks about servants being bound to their master, and, you know, a servant that loved his master and didn't want to be sent away could tell his master, I love you, I don't want to leave. And they would take him to the doorpost and, you know, I'm going to take some young ladies off. I'm going to take some old ladies off. I'm going to take some in-between ladies off. And they pierce the earlobe. Piercing is a symbol. It's a symbol. The pierced earlobe is a symbol of bondage. Being in bondage. I'm getting all kinds of... It's the Bible. I'm just telling you, that's exactly what the Bible says. You know? Just like tattooing and marking your body in other ways. You know, the Bible tells us not to do it. It is what it is. It says what it says. You know, and I can't overlook the things that the Bible says just because I don't want to make you mad. It's my job to reprove and rebuke. 2/3 of my ministry. Amen. Reprove, rebuke, and exhort with all long suffering. Amen. You might not like it, but it's still the truth. Amen. I'm just, don't shoot the messenger. You know, you get mad at somebody, you get mad at God. You say, well, you didn't have to talk about it. Well, yeah, I do. Because we want to be entangled again. Amen. We don't want to separate ourselves. Amen. From the world. We don't want to be different. We entangle ourselves and then we wonder why there's no power in our life. We entangle ourselves and we wonder, why am I back in the same old mess that I was trying to get away from? That's why I have no problem with contemporary Christian music, as some people think. I like a lot of contemporary Christian music. I listen to some of it when I wrote. But I have a problem with contemporary rock and roll, so-called gospel. When they look like the world, you can see no difference. You understand where I'm going? You understand what we're saying? We've entangled ourselves again with the yoke of bondage. Amen? We don't want to come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord. Amen. We want to get entangled again. Paul says, stand in the liberty. You know, there's nothing wrong and there's nothing that you should be ashamed of being a Christian. Amen. There's nothing wrong and there's no reason that you should be ashamed for being different than the rest of the world. Amen. There's no shame and there's nothing wrong with being called weird. Man, I call Ron weird all the time. Yeah. Hey, man, we're not going there tonight, but praise God, I do. You know, the Bible says we're a peculiar people. You know what that means? It means our lives are different from the world. It means we're not entangled again with the yoke of bondage, the things that the world craves after and longs after. I'll draw you back. Now, you know, there are all kinds of styles of music. I like all kinds of music. I listen to classical music, believe it or not. I am a little bit refined at times. Amen. I like classical music at times. I like big band music. I like bluegrass music. I don't particularly care a whole lot for a lot of country and western. There's some of it that's all right. I'm just trying to say, I'm not just picking on, you know, contemporary. I mean, I'll be honest with you. Eagles was one of my favorite groups of all times, you know. I don't listen to them much anymore. Amen. But I will sneak every now and then. And, you know, I'm just being honest. But I don't dwell in it. I don't dwell on it. You know what I find? I like Christian music. I like music that uplifts Christ. I like people, I like music of folks that I know. Amen. I like the Rochester. I'd rather listen to the Rochesters than I would some of these big name groups that tour around, because most of them are just a business. Yes. Amen. The Rochesters were the real deal. Yes. Amen. You spend some time with that bunch and you know they love the Lord. Amen. They're sold out for Jesus. They're not entangled. And why are you getting into all this, preacher? Because it's easy to get entangled again with the yoke of bondage. I tell you what happens to me is I got headphones when I'm mowing that have the radio in them, and I turn on WDSD. It's the strongest signal I can get from a Christian station. Well, I can't deal with the Shine FM out of Baltimore, so I turn on WDSD, and you know I'm riding around and I'm listening, and WDSD is 94.5, but WDOC in Delaware is 94.1 or 0.2 on the digital radio, something like that. So I'm riding around, and I'm listening to, you know, good Bible teaching. I'm listening to good Christian music, and I make a turn. And the next thing I'm listening to, it'll buy me a truck, buy me a boat, it'll buy me a truck to pull it, blah, 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 yeah. So it's real easy if you're not careful. Amen. The wiles of the devil, his devices, to get these things in you. And you know when you get them tunes, you get them in your head? It's hard to get them out of your head. Amen. It's hard to get them out of your head. It's hard to let things go once you... It's like, you know, what's been seen can't be unseen. What's been heard can't be unheard. What's been spoken can't be unsaid. Amen. And it's real easy for the devil to draw you back into bondage. Amen. It'd be real easy sometimes, and sometimes I do, because the static just gets so bad, I just flip it on over to the country station and go instead. Well, I could turn the stupid thing off. Amen. But I listen to it. I'm just, you know. But you find yourself, these things are embedded. And you can't get it out of your mind. You can't let go of it. And the devil will suck you back into bondage if you're not careful. You say, well, I don't believe that, preacher. Well, the Bible says a little leaven and leaveneth the whole lump. Yeah. Amen? You know what that means? It only takes a little bit of something to have an adverse effect. You know what leavening is? It's yeast. You know what yeast, how many know what yeast does? It makes the bread rise. Amen? And it only takes a little bit of yeast to grow. It might not act as quick at first, but if it's allowed to reproduce and it's allowed to grow, the old timers, when they went west, they made a sourdough bread. But you know what they took with them? It was called starter. You know what it was? It was their leavening. And every day when they made their bread, they had to save a little bit of starter. They had to save a little bit with yeast and it growing in it, so that tomorrow when they wanted to make their bread, they had something to start with. Amen. But it growed overnight. And it multiplied overnight to the place where they could bake bread for their family for the next day. That's what the devil does when we let our guard down. And he sucks us back in. He gets us entangled again with the yoke of bondage. And pretty soon, instead of going down the road and walking through the store whistling, oh, how I love Jesus, or singing, oh, how I love Jesus, as you're walking by, and everybody, I do it all the time. I sing everywhere I go. Amen. Ask Bryson. He works for me sometimes. I'll be singing somewhere. But I'll be walking through the store singing something. Everybody's like, look at that weirdo. But the difference is, you're walking through the store instead of singing, oh, how I love Jesus. You're singing, all my exes live in Texas. Amen? Amen? Hey, now, you know what I'm talking about. I just did that. Y'all ever seen the thing on the internet, the little boy? They're in a big church. A little boy, he's probably about, what, 6, 7 years old? He's in the church, and they're up in front of the church, and they got them all up there, and they're all reciting stuff, and he's doing the books of the Bible. And he gets all the way down to the last few books of the Bible, and he gets done, and he's standing there with that mic, and all of a sudden he just breaks out, oh, my excellent. Man, you seen that Sunday school teacher. Y'all ain't seen that. It's hilarious. It's hilarious. But that's what happens to you. You know, you get sucked back in because you've listened to it. You get sucked back in because you've done it. You get sucked back in, and instead of honoring Christ now, you're honoring the flesh. Instead of standing apart and showing them that you stand in the liberty of Christ, all you're showing is that you're just another individual bound by the sins of the world. Do you get where I'm going with that? I mean, it's so simple. I just use that as an example. It is so simple. It is so easy if you're not careful. Paul says, don't get into that place. He said, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Amen. Folks, we got to be careful in our spiritual life. America is getting herself entangled. America is trying to be like Israel was when they wanted to be like all the other nations. America is wanting to be socialist like all Europe is, and Europe's going bankrupt. Europe's failing because of their socialism. And now America is trying to emulate this. Well, look at Europe. Look at this country. Look at that country. I don't want to look at that country. I want to see America. Yeah. Amen. They say, well, look at this religion and look at this church and look at the, let's go down and try the Restore Church. They're opening their new church in Towson in the nightclub. Amen. And Brother Jess is going to be there tonight. Did y'all see that? Y'all missed that one? You got to be careful. The devil's lobbing them things out there. And if you ain't vigilant, he'll lob them right past you. He had a Restore Church down at the nightclub in Towson. Hey, man. Sickening. Sickening. But we get entangled. We get drawn back in. Hey, man. You know the thing that has made America what most nations in the world desire to be like today is because we stand in our liberty. Even countries that have a monarch, even the country that we fought for our independence from, we fought for our liberty from, England, now emulates the United States more than it does what it used to be, even though it still has a monarchy. Amen? Most every country in the world looks to America. When was the last time you seen people wanting to, in mass, just everywhere from around the world, want to immigrate to some place? Let's pick Saudi Arabia. Nobody's really wanting to go there, are they? But you know how many people in Saudi Arabia want to come to America? Amen. How many people do you know? Well, we had the missionaries from Tanzania. How many people do you know in mass are wanting to migrate and wanting to go and live in Tanzania? But by the hundreds and thousands, folks in Tanzania would love to come to America. Amen. How many people in America in mass are trying to go to South and Central America and into Mexico, but they're flooding into America. Why? Because of the liberty that America offers, the liberty that America stands in, the liberty that America represents. America is a shining example of what a country should be to the rest of the world. And folks, if our Christian life doesn't have that same effect on someone else, then we got a problem. If our church doesn't stand apart and offer something that someone like Robert, I'm going to share something that is all right to share. I like to use people as examples because, you know, Tammy told me when he first come, first time he was here, she said he left here and said, I don't know about that born again stuff. Amen. Now he are one. Amen. You know why? Because he's seen something different. He's seen something to be desired. He's seen something to be had that he had never seen before. When we're entangled again, if we were just like every other religion, and every other thing that has let him down in his life, he would still be on his way to hell, most likely tonight. But be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Cherish your liberty. Stand up for your liberty in Christ. And fight the good fight to keep from being entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Let's tonight, heads bowed, eyes closed.